It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Now, we're studying in the book of John, and we're in chapter 6. Last time we looked at chapter 6, and we saw how that Jesus fed the 5,000. Once again, I believe there were actually more than 5,000 there. This would not include the women. And I believe there were actually more than 5,000 people who got fed. But if you look back in verse 5, it says, "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." Now, we can look at this a couple of different ways. We might say that Jesus did this to prove Philip, in other words, to test him or to see what he thought about Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ was. But I believe that if we look at this, we'll see also that this was done so Jesus could let people see who he was, that he was the Messiah, that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he was sent from God. And of course, he is God. He was God at that time as well. And he wanted people to understand exactly who he was. But once again, Jesus always made reference to God the Father, that he always prayed to God the Father. God the Father gave him instruction as to what to do and how to do it. And he always prayed and asked the Lord for guidance. Well, we keep reading in chapter 6, and it says in verse 14, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle," what men? The ones who had seen him perform this miracle, the people. It says in this verse that Jesus did the miracle that he did. "This is of a truth that prophet," they said, "that should come into the world." Well, now Jesus responds this way. Verse 15, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." Now, this is a little different than what we've looked at in some other verses in John as we've studied this book. We saw how that the Jews were wanting to kill Jesus. They wanted to kill him, and remember, they wanted to kill him because he had so-called broken the Sabbath by healing the man who was infirm for 38 years. They wanted to kill him. But now we see that after this miracle, that people wanted to take him and make him the king right then. Well, it wasn't time for anything like that. Jesus, when even was now come, his disciples went unto the sea and entered into a ship. But notice back in verse 15 what Jesus did. He departed again into a mountain himself alone. Oftentimes we read of Jesus as he was alone. He prayed and he talked to the Heavenly Father. And I believe that this was like getting a spiritual lift from the Heavenly Father. This would be like getting the spiritual vitamin that Jesus needed. Remember, he was human, and he was born of a virgin. So therefore, he had human needs, and no doubt he was tired as well, and he needed to get away alone. But he needed spiritually to be revived at that point as the human. Remember now, he's God. He's 100% man, and he's also 100% God. And once again, I can't understand that because I'm simply a human being. But I believe it because the Bible teaches it, and I believe the Word of God. I believe what God has written to us in his book. Well, it goes on to say, after he went into the mountain alone, in verse 16, "And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over to the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them." Once again, I have a problem here thinking how that these men who were devoted to the Lord would leave him like this. I don't know the reason. There had to be a reason. Maybe Jesus had told them to go on without him, or if he wasn't there, to go ahead of him. I don't know why this would have taken place, but it took place, And it says they entered into a ship, and the sea, in verse 18, arose by reason of a great wind that blew. And I'm told that on this sea that the wind could come up out of nowhere, in other words. It could come up immediately without warning. And this is evidently what happened here. These men, now remember, were fishermen, and they were expert at what they were doing. Verse 19 says, so when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, and I believe this is between possibly around 3 miles they had gone out. And it says they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. Well, certainly I would be afraid if I saw someone walking on the water coming towards me like that. And I saw someone walking on the water. This probably would have made me a little apprehensive as well. But notice in verse 20, but he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Well, you know, Jesus spoke to these men as they were in this boat, and they were scared. And he says, don't worry, it's me. Don't be afraid. And there's so many times in our lives as Christians, as saved people, that yes, we do get afraid. We're human beings, and we do have apprehensions that come into our lives. We get afraid. But I thank the Lord that just as he told these disciples as they were in this boat and they were scared, they saw him walking on the water, he said, don't be afraid. And just like he told these disciples, he speaks to our hearts today. And he says, don't worry. Don't be afraid. It's me. I'm here. And I can help you through the difficult times that you're having. And we need to look to Jesus. Now, it's good to have a human companion, a human person that is willing to pray with us and help us in any way possible. And it's good to have a doctor who's willing to work with us when we are ill. But it's much better to have the hand of Jesus touch us and to let us know that things are all right. No matter what takes place in our life, Jesus said, I'm here. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And we need to do that. We've trusted him to save our souls. So is it any greater thing for us to trust him now to take care of us in this life? He says, be not afraid. And verse 21 says, then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at land whither they went. You notice they immediately received Jesus Christ into the boat. Well, we need to receive him, not to be saved again, but we need to receive him and listen to his voice and understand that he is the one who was walking on the water. He was the one who performed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And he's the one who can take care of us. Don't be afraid, the Bible tells us there. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went, in verse 21. Well, they were rowing. Jesus came along. He said, don't be afraid. They took him into the boat, and they made it to the shore. And in verse 22, it says, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Now, here's people now, they're wondering what's going on here, that his disciples had left him, and he was there alone. But notice in verse 23, howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. Now, I find that the people seek Jesus for many different reasons. And I believe that these people had seen the feeding of the 5,000. They saw the miracle that had taken place. And I use the Word of God in several instances concerning what we've been reading in chapter 6, and several examples I give. One of those examples is that there are people who follow Jesus for different reasons. And maybe, you know, as we think about this, there were certainly those individuals, possibly, who wanted to follow Jesus for the right reason. They wanted, and we've read this, that they wanted to take him right then and make him king. But once again, it doesn't say they wanted to make him their Savior. And I believe that there were some people who knew who Jesus was. I'm not saying that all of them were saved. I'm saying that it's possible that some of them were saved. And they wanted to be with Jesus. And it says that they too, those who had witnessed the feeding of the 5,000, they got in the boats and they went to where Jesus was. They wanted to be with him. And you know, we as saved people, we need to be with Jesus all the time. We need to be with him. As we walk through this world, we see things happening around us. And we need someone close to us. And Jesus is that person we need close to us. We understand that Jesus is the one who answers our prayer. He is the mediator between us and God, the Heavenly Father. He takes our prayers to the Father, and we need to be close to him. But once again, these people, they followed Jesus for different reasons. I believe, once again, there possibly some of them were saved, but some of them were bread seekers. In other words, maybe they wanted to be fed again. They wanted to have the physical things that Jesus would give them, and they had seen Jesus performed this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. They had taken part in this, and they wanted more. They wanted to see more of this. Well, verse 27 of John chapter 6 goes on to say, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Now we go back in verse 26, and we read of something of what I've just talked about. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." Well, Jesus didn't mince words with these people. He told them the truth. He said, you're not seeking me for the right reason, and you need to receive me as your Savior. And verse 27 that we've read says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth," or the food that perishes, "but for that food or meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." God the Father had, he had raised Jesus up to do a certain specific thing in this world. And that certain specific thing was to seek and to save those who were lost. He was sent to bring salvation to the people of this world. He wasn't sent here simply to feed people with physical food. He was sent here to feed people the bread of life. He is the bread of life. And when we come to him, we receive him as our Lord and Savior. And as we grow in the grace and knowledge, we get into the Word, and we grow by studying his Word. That's our meat. That's our food as saved people. We need to get into the Word, and we need to read it. We need to study it, and we need to thank the Lord that he hasn't left us comfortless, but he's given us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth through his Word. May God bless you as you study the Word of God. Don't quit. Keep studying about Jesus. Get into his Word.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.